To the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. Hebrews, chapter number 4. This is an interesting week of the year, the week before Christmas leading to New Year's. People many times do something they call resolutions. You think about it, they maybe regret how much they ate during Christmas season or during the months of November or December, and they make some resolutions for the new year. Sometimes people regret how much money they spent or different things like that. They take this week to look at different things they might want to change in their lives. And don't get me wrong, I know many of us could work on certain things and many of us could get better at certain things. Even sometimes Christians will take and examine their own heart and they'll look and say, what is it that I need to make a vow to do or something I need to do better this year? And they might consider, well, maybe I need to read my Bible a little bit more, or maybe I need to pray a little bit more, or maybe I need to serve in a different way or give in a different way. And there's different times and different thought processes throughout this week leading up to what we call the New Year is something that people will begin to examine things. Well, let me encourage you today is to let the Word of God make the change in your life. Not just our own thoughts and our own feelings or even approaching other people, but instead let God's word do the change. The title of this morning's message is Letting the Word of God Make the Changes This Year. Letting the Word of God Make the Changes This Year. Think about it. If you had a heart problem, you wouldn't go to your five-year-old that just got the doctor set for Christmas time and ask your five-year-old, hey, can you give me a heart checkup? They would probably think that they would probably take their little setup and they probably listen and they would, on their best, they would say, okay, Dad, you're fine. Okay, Mom, you're great. They might even give you a kiss and say, hey, you're healthy. That doesn't really show you really what's wrong. You wouldn't go to even maybe just someone who has a little bit of medical training that has their own stethoscope and say, okay, let me check you out. I can figure out, I can help you. You probably wouldn't even be satisfied with just going to a nurse or a doctor with just a stethoscope and say, hey, I'm having some serious heart issues. I need some help. And just letting them, now they might show you a little bit of the problem, but you want to get some heavy machinery involved. You want to get some tests run. You want some machines to check your heart. And so when we go to our friends or our relatives or maybe even other church members, sometimes you're going to get a false reading. That's what I want to show you tonight, this morning, is looking at this message and looking at this passage of Scripture found in Hebrews chapter number 4, that we need to allow God's Word to do the work in our lives and allow God's Word to make the change in our lives. And once again, there are a lot of people that might give you an opinion. Some people might offer you some help, but it's God that knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's the Word of God that can pierce through those things. This morning in Sunday school, Pastor Smart spoke in Sunday school, will also be preaching tonight, and he preached this morning on something called the Word of the Lord and talked about the Bible. And I didn't know what he was preaching on. That's how the Lord led me today, is talking about the Bible and the Word of God. And I think it's something that we need to hear and something that's important. I think the best way that we could do is with an honest heart and an open mind, pray as it says in Psalms 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The two verses we're going to start off this morning, and it's a little bit of a topical message. We'll go to a couple other passages. It's found in Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look in verses 12 and 13. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for today. Thankful for the blessings you've provided upon us. Lord, I pray that as we consider, and as we should always be considering, what we could grow in our Christian lives, changes we need to make that would be honoring and pleasing to you, making us more useful vessels. Lord, I pray that we look to the Word of God as our guide. We ask the Holy Spirit of God to use the sword of the Spirit, Lord, to be able to work in our lives. Show us things we need to change. And Lord, more than anything, help us to make a commitment today to let the Word of God lead us and direct us. Lord, help us not to lean so much on other understandings. The Bible says that in all our ways, we should acknowledge you. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, verse number 12 is probably a little bit more familiar to most of us than the verse number 13. But verse 13, I think, is important because it helps us understand that the Bible's saying here is, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So it says that you're getting a true reading there, saying that everything's open and naked before the Lord. There's nothing that you can hide from him. The scriptures talk about that often. There's even our thoughts. He knows them even before we ever think them. So when we're standing in the presence of God, help us to remember that, hey, the changes I need to make, they should come from the Lord. Why is that? Because he knows us best. He knows us even better than we ourselves. We can convince ourselves sometimes, hey, I don't need a change. Or if I compare myself to someone else, I can think I'm doing pretty well. But if we line up with Scripture and see what the Word of God says and what the Word of God has to say about our lives, it's something that we can see the difference that we really, truly need to make. It amazes me that people will spend sometimes fortunes on doctors and medical treatment to help them out physically. But even some Christians today will not spend time in their Bibles and spend time praying to try to help ensure their spiritual health. So this morning, as we look at this in Hebrews chapter 4, specifically in verse number 12, I'd like to show you how the Word of God can change a life and how if we would allow it, that God's Word can change our lives too. Look what it says again, for the Word of God is quick, which means it's alive, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that word heart there is talking about our inner thought process. It's talking about the center of our lives, talking about where we make our decisions. So let's look at this for just a few minutes. First, where it says the Word of God is quick. Now, how are we supposed to examine our lives? How do we line up with the Bible? Do we even care what the Word of God says? How does the biblical process of biblical examination happen? Remember, the Word of God is quick, which means it's alive. So the first point under the thought is the Word of God convicts. The Word of God convicts. What do you mean? Some people don't like conviction. I don't know about you, but it's sometimes not the prettiest thing to get conviction. But when conviction comes from God, you know what it's doing? It's saying, hey, you're doing something wrong and there's something that needs to change. I'm not pleased with this area of your life and there's something I need to change. And I've learned to grow over the years, even though I don't always like what I'm being convicted about, that conviction is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. If there's something that's going on in my life that needs to change, something that's going on that God's not pleased with, that's where conviction comes from. And what the Bible is saying here is that the Word of God, it's quick. It's talking about how it's alive. The Word of God, it simply means that the Bible is alive. It's alive forever. If it's true 100 years ago, it's true today. It's going to be true 100 years from now. It's a living book. When you read God's Word, you're exposing your heart to the Word of God. And I love how they say that in verse number 12, for the Word of God. I was going to name that the title of my sermon, the Word of God, but Brother Smart's sermon title this morning was the Word of the Lord, so I thought I'd change it a little bit. The Word of God. You think about it, that is the best title for the Bible because it's God's Word. He inspired the Word. He inspired the writer. God breathed. This is the Word of God that's alive and that will last forever. But not only is it alive, the Word of God is also powerful. The Word of God is quick, but not just quick, it's powerful. This simply means it's dynamic. God's Word is more dynamic than any surgeon's tool. It's more dynamic than any medicine or a latest technology. God's Word is more important than any type of procedure you could have physically. Instead, every time the power of the Word of God is shared, the spiritual heart surgery can take place. If we will listen and we'll apply it to our lives, the Holy Spirit of God can take and change things in our lives as we are willing to do. Every time you hear or read God's Word, you can rest assured that God's power is alive and changing lives. If we would only be willing to say, okay, God, I want to examine my heart according to your Word and let God's Word do the work. Remember, it's alive. It's powerful. Not only is it alive and powerful, the Word of God says, and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word sharp in this verse implies the Bible will cut. Ephesians 6:17 says the Bible is the sword of the Spirit, and the hands of the Holy Spirit is also a surgical tool which cuts to the heart of men and women. It is the word of God alone that will cut into a heart and a soul of man, showing us the need that we have and our need for Christ. It's the word of God that changes lives. It's quick, it's alive, it's powerful, and it's sharp. And it continues to say, not only is it it's piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It pierces. It completely goes through. I was reading an illustration one time where I saw that the little sister was watching her older sister get her ears pierced. And she's sitting there watching and watching and watching. And then it happens and it pierced all the way through. And she said to her dad, "Hey, Dad, it went all the way through." And that was kind of interesting because that's what the Word of God can do. If we allow it to, it will pierce through. It's the same reason why, this is the same reason why many people do not listen to the Word of God or they avoid the Word of God. See, God's Word will reveal the heart's condition better than anything else. God's Word will reveal His condition better than I know, than even the way we examine our own heart. It pierces through. It goes through all the different riffraff. It goes through all the different things in our lives that we have built up or we've taken down, the high opinion that we have of ourselves. And this is the reason why many people avoid God's Word altogether. They know the Bible cuts all the way through. This is the reason why some people do not like biblical preaching. They rather have a conscience-soothing Christianity. They rather have something that soothes them into thinking that they're okay. But a Christianity that makes us feel good without any personal demand or condemning any secret sins is not biblical and is not what we need. We need the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that is quick and that is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces through. It pierces through all the world's opinions. It pierces through all the culture's opinions. It pierces through even what our spiritual friends, supposedly spiritual friends, are saying. It pierces through what everybody else's advice is. And it says, this is what truth is. Many Christians avoid God's Word because it pierces to the very depths of their hearts. Many people want that surface Christianity. I want to appear Christian, but I don't want the Word of God to make any changes in me. We should go before the Lord and say, "Lord, examine me. Search me, O God." And when we're asking God to search us, to see if there's any wicked way in us, you know, we're not teaching God anything. God knows already about us. We're asking God to reveal unto us the things that we need. When God came to Adam, and Adam was hiding in the garden, and he said, "Where art thou?" Do you not think that God knew where he was? He knew exactly where he was. And God knows exactly where we are at in our spiritual lives and in our condition. He knows exactly what we need, and he uses his word, and the Spirit of God uses his word to show us this is the change that you need to make. So today and this week, as we start thinking, okay, what are the changes I need to make for this upcoming year? Let's let the word of God make the changes. Not only is it alive and powerful and sharp and pierces, the Word of God discerns. It discerns. As God's Word examines our hearts. Look what it says here. Piercing to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of a marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is also a discerner of the thoughts and intents. The word discerner indicates that examines or judges the heart. The best way to understand a spiritual condition, our spiritual condition, is to expose it to the Word of God. You think about it, we don't know why people are here today. I hope it's here because we want to hear the Word of God preach. We want to hear the Word of God taught. We want to let God work in us and take out that sword of the Spirit and clean up some things to make me a better vessel, make me more useful for God. But I remember when I was a kid, I used to love to go to church, but I didn't always go to church to hear from God. I would go to church because I wanted to see my friends. When I was a little kid, I used to go to church because I wanted a lollipop. And I loved church. I loved all the things that go on at church. But there were times when I really didn't have the right motive. I didn't have the right intent. I didn't have the right thought process. There were things about me that I needed to change. And the Word of God came through and it pierced through all those things. It was a discerner. It shows me the things I need to hear. It examines my heart. And as it examines my heart, it says, this is wrong in how you're thinking. This is not the right reason to serve. This is not the right reason to come to church. This is not the right motivation. And that's what the Word of God can do, unlike anything else. Why? It's because it says in verse number 13, everything's open. Everything's naked before the Lord. Everything. God knows it all and sees all and understands all. And he's given us his word. And he uses his spirit to instruct us in his word. And as our hearts are examined by the word of God, our spiritual condition will be exposed. And it says he's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. This is the spiritual heart that we're studying about. It doesn't remain neutral. Instead, it has the right reasons or the wrong reasons. The spiritual heart desires and perceives and even proposes. This heart even has a will, and the word of God has the ability to expose wrong intentions and wrong thoughts within our heart and has the ability to help us correct that wrong pattern. Now, we're looking at it all from the negative side, but praise the Lord, there's a good side too. Praise the Lord when there are times when my thoughts, my intents of the heart, and someone questions me or someone says this or says, so why are you doing this or why are you doing that? And I can go into the Word of God, and the Word of God can encourage me, and the Word of God can teach me, and the Word of God can show me what truth is. Because there's a lot of naysayers out there. There's a lot of people who will question you and question your service for God and question whether or not you're truly loved the Lord. And they say, well, I know why you do that. You do that because you do that because of that. And the word of God is something that can not only encourage, but also can correct. The second point is the word of God convicts. And I think that's what I'm asking and what I think the Lord's trying to get to this morning is, and through the message is, let the word of God convict your hearts. And once again, you could sit there and you could write down, you get to your list and say, okay, it's a new year. I need to lose some weight or I need to gain some weight. Boy, that would be nice. I need to exercise some more, or I need to exercise less. Boy, that'd be nice. All types of things that we could look at our own lives and say, you know what? I could do better here. 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 And you know what? Your list in the Word of God's list may be similar in some areas, but our list here is going to be superficial. It's based off what we thought. It's based off of how we felt. It's based off of what we think would be best. But when we let God's word get into our hearts and we let God's word get into our mind, and the Holy Spirit of God reveals something unto us that we need to change, we're not doing it to make myself better. I'm not doing it to make my family better. I'm doing this because God told me to do it. And if I don't do it, then I'm doing something wrong. The word of God convicts. It convicts our hearts. Let God's word convict your heart. Sometimes when something is said, there are certain topics that some people have closed off so much that they would never, ever let it change in their heart, no matter who said it. Sometimes I think that God himself could come down and talk to people about telling other people about Jesus Christ. And it'd be like, that's not my job. I think that sometimes God himself could come down and tell us a certain biblical principle. This is what I want you to do. And that's what the Bible is, the Word of God. It wouldn't matter. They've closed off certain things. What I'm telling you is let the word of God convict your heart. Let God work in your life. Let God work in your heart. And every day of the year, but especially as you're considering, hey, this past year, these are some things I wish I had done better. And I don't think there's anything wrong with writing down goals for 2019 and going back and looking at the end of 2019 and say, okay, I didn't accomplish this like I would like to. And, different things. I don't think there's anything wrong with taking some inventory and taking some stock in what we've done or did not do or what we wish we thought God was asking us to do, all those different things. But let God's word make the change in our lives, not just our own personal opinions. The second thing, not only is God's word correct, God convicts, the word of God corrects. The word of God corrects. Now, people who do not like conviction many times definitely do not like correction. I don't know about you, but correction is not my favorite thing in the world. But you know what? The Bible tells us something about people who get corrected all throughout the book of Proverbs. Talks about how a wise man, how they'll view correction versus a foolish man. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. And you think about it, when we come to correction, the word of God not only convicts us, but it shows us how to correct the problem. Proverbs chapter number 9 gives us a picture of some different people that correction is used upon. Now, all throughout the Bible, there's interesting things that people have done. Sometimes people begin to blame somebody else. When God came to Adam and said, did you eat of the fruit? Who does he blame it on? He blames it on Eve. And who does Eve blame it on? She blames it on the snake. And there's other times in the Bible where when God comes or when an individual comes to give correction, they respond in the wrong way. And that is natural. Most people do respond in the wrong way. But I'm thankful for those that will take, and this is what usually has to happen to me, is that I'll take and I'll think about what's been said or how I've been corrected, and I'll go and I'll pray about it, and then I'll respond back in the right way. You know what? There is something I could work on. There is something I could change. But in the Bible, it talks about how David, when Nathan came and said to him, "Thou art the man," about the sin with Bathsheba, how he got it right. But there's another story that we looked about in 2 Kings and 1 Kings, when we see those kings, how they were corrected. I think about Asa. He did a good job, and then when Asa was corrected, he refused to get it right, and he died a miserable man. Why is that? Because correction was not something he was willing to take. Now, correction is not something that many people enjoy hearing, but it is something that's needed. And if we let the Word of God convict us, let's let the Word of God correct the problem too. Let's not just see it as okay, I'm convicted by this. Okay, I know I need a change. Well, let's let the Word of God not only convict, let's let it correct. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter number 9. There's two different groups of people here. Proverbs chapter number 9, we'll go ahead and start in verse number 6. "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." You see here, there's people that are called scorners here, and there are people that are foolish, as found in verse number 6. But the Bible's saying here, look, you're not going to get very far if you rebuke a wicked man, if you rebuke a scorner. But if you give instruction to a wise man, guess what he's going to do? He's going to learn. Two different people. First person I would call the foolish man. This is the person who is unteachable. He will not listen to the Lord. He will not listen to correction. One person put it this way: wise men change their minds, fools never. A wise man thinks all he says, and a fool says all he thinks. And so often we don't like correction. And don't get me wrong, there is some problems with correction. Sometimes people don't have all the information. Sometimes the people are wrong. Sometimes there are things that we can never, that they're saying that is untrue, and they might not even know it. I've had people come up to me, they base their opinion and decision off of what I've done, not knowing all the information. And after I correct them and say, hey, this is the reason why I did it, it's like a light bulb comes on. So not only do you see here the foolish man, but you see the wise man. There's a contrast here. While the foolish persists in his foolishness, the wise man will listen when he is confronted with the truth, and he will adjust his life accordingly. He is a teachable spirit. He realizes his own limitations and shortcomings and grasps every opportunity to develop his life into one that is more pleasing to the Lord. Wise men learn more from fools than foolish men learn from wise men. Think about that. Even though a fool makes the correction, you know what? A wise man can learn from that. They can take the correction. They can chew on it a little while, see what applies and what doesn't. But the fool that could learn so much from the wise man, he refuses. He's unteachable. I'm right. Doesn't matter what you say, even if it's show me from the Word of God. So that's what I'm saying today. Nobody really truly likes correction. No one really truly likes to have somebody come up to you and say, this is what you need. But in all reality, sometimes it's needed. And let the Word of God do the working. Let the Word of God convict you. Let the Word of God do the correction. In the book of James, it talks about how the Word of God is called a mirror. As we look into the mirror of God's Word, it shows us what we need to change. Look in James chapter 1, for sake of time, I'll just read. It's verses 23 through 25. "For any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he yet was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So what the scriptures are saying is that it gives a picture of it being a Bible. when you look into the Word of God, it shows us the blemishes we have and the things that we need to change. I've used the illustration before. When you get up in the morning time and you see yourself in the mirror, you usually say, okay, there's some things I need to change. There's a hair that you might need to comb. There's a face that needs to be washed, teeth that needs to be brushed, clothes that maybe don't match, different things like that. When you look into the mirror, it shows and reveals unto you the things that need to change in your life, and it shows you what you need to fix. And that's what the Word of God does. It convicts you, but also it corrects you. It shows you, hey, look, there is a blemish there that you can make look better if you would just make the change. Whether in church or whether in our personal Bible reading or whatever it is, as we examine our lives according to the Bible, let's let God's Word change us. I think someone who lives in the house might be able to give you some suggestions. If you went and say, hey, is there something you see that maybe could change? I think someone that you know really well, and they can ask, hey, can you help me with this area and see? But what's really going to make the difference, the thing that is quick and the thing that is powerful, the thing that is sharp, the thing that is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, is the Word of God. And we need to let this change our lives instead of letting other things make us who we are. Last but not least is, not only does the Word of God convict, not only does the Word of God correct, but the Word of God seeks confession. The Word of God seeks confession. 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if I went around the room and asked, what does the word confess mean, I'd probably get some different things. I think some people would tell you, oh, it's when you start talking to God and you're really, really sorry and you feel bad about getting caught. You know, many times when a person confesses is when they're caught and they say, okay, you did this, this, and this. Did you do something wrong? Sometimes people still say no. But confession here in that scripture and what the Bible is saying here is that we learn to agree with God. It means that I agree, God. And once the Word of God convicts our heart, and once the Word of God shows us the things we need to correct, it also means that we need to agree with Him. So we can be convicted, we can see how to get it corrected, but here's the thing is, are you willing to agree with God? You know, some people just don't like what the Bible says. There are certain things, and I've said this before, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, there's certain points that I don't really particularly like what's in the Bible. And how I'm supposed to forgive everyone. You know, that's not what I would have written, but I'm not God. I don't know any better. And God teaches me, and because of that, I've learned that through forgiveness, I show more of Christ than any other way. When I can look at someone and say, I forgive you, and not have a heart that's held up, that's what Christ did for me, and I'm showing people Christ through that. And in our lives, if we will learn to let the Word of God not only convict us, not only correct us, but to confess with God, I know that you're right and that I need to make that change. There's a word of truth found in that verse. There's a word of truth that can help us understand confess. Now, as a young man, confession meant to me that I had to plead with God. I had to try to convince God that I was sorry. I had to beg for his forgiveness. But that's not what that verse means. That's not what that word means. The Bible says, if I confess, it means our sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Is when I've come and seen what the Word of God says and says, I agree. I need to change. And when I agreed I need to make that change, you know what that's going to mean? It means I'm going to make that change. That's when I'm going to find mercy. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, and I don't have it written down in front of me, but it talks about he that forsaketh, confesseth and forsaketh. That's the person who's going to find mercy. I've met many people that says, I agree with you. I did this wrong, but nothing ever changes. That means that we don't really truly agree with this is what's best for our lives. That means I agree I got caught. I agree that might work for you. I agree that's what God says, but nothing happened in here. And when nothing happened in here, you know what that means? we're not going to find the mercy. Now, this is referring to a Christian who is on his way to heaven, and when God is working in his heart and convicting his heart about the things he needs to change, and is talking about the cleansing that needs to happen, he's seeking God. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to read his word. He wants to see the things that you change and say, okay, Lord, I agree with you. Now I want to change it. Confess. So not only does the word of God convict us and correct us, it seeks confession. It seeks you to come to him and say with an open heart and open spirit, I need to be more faithful to church, Lord. I agree. Lord, I need to be more faithful, because there's many of us who will say, okay, God, I see my shortcomings. I agree with you. And we do nothing with it. We do nothing. We see our problems. But we don't agree with God that we need to change. Now, salvation is something when God convicts our heart and shows us that we have a need for, that we're a sinner and we're in need of a Savior, and Christ died for that, and we turn to him and we ask him to save us, and we put our faith and trust in him, we're saved and on our way to heaven. Praise the Lord. But when God continues to reveal things and shows us our heart and shows us the thoughts and intents and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart, he's saying, this is something you need to work on. You need to change. That's what we need to do. And that's when we agree with God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess and forsake is what the scripture says. That's when we're going to find mercy. So this morning, as we think about changes we need to make this upcoming year, who are we going to let make the decision? I can't really trust in myself, because myself is the reason why I'm in this problem to begin with. If I would have been doing right to begin with, you know what? I wouldn't have had these issues or these problems. And I can't really trust in my family, because they have their own problems. I can't really, definitely can't trust in the people around the church, because I'm better off than they are in some people's minds. But there is one source that I can trust. There is one source that is quick and powerful. Let's read it again here in Hebrews chapter number 4. I probably could quote it, but I don't want to mess it up, because I know someone will come correct me after church. It says, Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." But people don't even read their Bibles. It's the problem. So I know most of you, if not any of you, probably remember what I preached on the first sermon that first Sunday of 2019. It's talked about how to have a blessed New Year's. And we looked at Psalms chapter 1, talking about the blessed man, and that night we talked about the word of God make a difference to you. And we looked at things, and we talked about how they're peculiar in many different things, how the word of God makes us peculiar, makes us different. And as we close with the last sermon for Sunday mornings for 2019, did you allow God's word to make a difference in your life this year? Did you study it? Did you read it? Did you meditate on it? Did you memorize it? So, Pastor, all that stuff sounds crazy. All that stuff's found in the Bible. That's not just me trying to get you to get in your Bible more. That stuff is found in the scriptures. And that was the challenge of the first Sunday of 2019. The last Sunday of 2019, we're saying, did you let the word of God make a difference? Because God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How are you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year? Have you grown at all? Have you let the word of God make a difference in your life? So as we approach 2020, and we're not only just approaching a new year, we're approaching a new decade. It's kind of cool, right? Not only are we closing out a year, we're closing out a decade. And I'm wondering, at the beginning of the year, the challenge was put forth, let's get in the Word of God, and let's let the Word of God make a difference, and let's let the Word of God change us. And now here, as we're looking at the end of the year, we're saying, okay, did God's Word make a difference in my life this year? Because he says it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. He says it pierces. It says that it can make a difference if we allow it to. Did we allow it to make a difference these 12 months? And as we approach to say, okay, here's what I want to change for 2020. This is what I need to get right. This is what I need to get better at. Let God's word make the difference. How do you get into it? How do you know? It says in Psalms 1:2, but his delight, delighting in the Lord, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law shall he meditate day and night. Scripture upon scripture, learning and growing. If we learn to delight in his word, God will help us and give us instruction on the things we need to change. I don't know about you, but there's lots of people that look at you and say, hey, you don't need to change, you're fine, you don't need to pay attention to that. You're okay, you're nice, you're much better, and so and so. That's like going to the kid, the five-year-old, and saying, I have a little bit of heart issue. Can you take that doctor set we gave you for Christmas and check me out? They don't know you. They don't know what's inside you. They don't know the thoughts and the intents of your heart. It's only the Word of God and the Spirit of God that can show you and direct those things. But many times we leave it sitting here and we don't even pick it up. And we think, okay, I know I need to change here and change here and change here. And many times it's the same thing we need to change in the last 10 years. It's because we have not confessed. God, I see it in your word. I know it's wrong for me not to do this. And Lord, I'm confessing to you. I want to change. And I know it's right. And I don't want to ever pick it up again. I don't want to ever do it again. It's not based off of making myself a better person. It's not what's best for the country. It's not this or that. In your word, God, you've said, this is what you want me to do, and I agree with you. This is what I should do. Let the word of God convict your hearts. Don't let it just roll in one ear and roll out the other ear. Let the word of God not only convict your heart, let it correct you. I love the Bible because not only does it tell us where we're wrong, it tells us how to get it right. It's made not just for rebuking. It's made for correction and for doctrine. And what they're saying is, not only does it convict, it gets it correct. And when it shows you how to get it correct, confess with God and say, okay, you're right, I do need to forgive. You're right, I do need to be more faithful. You're right, I see it here in your word, I need to be kind. You're right, it's here, it's scriptures. Let the word of God change you. And let the word of God make a difference. At the beginning of the year, the challenge was, hey, does the word of God make a difference to you? Now all the way down here at the end of the year, did it make a difference? If you were in it, it sure did. If you memorize it, you meditate on it, if you let God's word, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper. It's not the word of God that does not have the power anymore. It's alive. It's going to be powerful for all the ages. It's powerful. It's just whether or not we allow it to make a difference in our hearts, in our lives. It convicts, it corrects, and it seeks that we confess. Is there something today that you say, I need to confess? God, I agree with you. I need to change this. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed for our time of invitation.